Good morning. It is good to be back with you again. It's been over a year since I was here, I think. I greet you from the Shenandoah District and from our newly elected superintendent, Pastor Janet Guthrie. She sends her hellos and her blessings to you all. And I asked Ronnie if he would put this picture of bread up behind me, but I didn't realize it would be up there so early. So that's a dangerous game to play when you're preaching a sermon with a picture of food, because you're the only thing standing between people and lunch. So I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning, but I want to talk to you about multiplication. Multiplication doesn't necessarily mean having more people inside your church. It means your church is having more of an impact outside these walls and out in the world. And we build the kingdom of God by making disciples everywhere we go. There are some really outside-the-box movements that are happening in the Wesleyan Church right here in West Virginia right now. We have people leading Bible studies with cooks in the school system. We have pastors and lay leaders who are making disciples in hospitals, in nursing homes, in parks. And most of you know that I pastor the Wesleyan Church in Parkersburg. We actually have two there. It's called The Gathering. And since the last time I was here, we've launched a third campus that is in Bel Air, Ohio, which is just right across the river from Wheeling. And so we're having a hostile takeover of Ohio. We're just taking it one church at a time. But the things that have worked for us in Parkersburg don't always work in Bel Air. That's one thing that we're learning in this process. And the things that work in Parkersburg and the things that work in Bel Air wouldn't necessarily work here in Elkview, because every community is different and every context is different. So our job as the church is to find out what the needs are in the community around us, and then figure out how we can make connections with the community and then begin to build relationships that open up the door for the gospel to spread. So this is our Wednesday bread delivery. This is just a picture of one table, usually I have two tables, of bread that comes to my church every Wednesday. And not every Wednesday, but most Wednesdays in Parkersburg. And it started because there's a man who runs a local mission, and he picks up all of Sam's Club bread at the end of the week. And it's bread that's just going to get thrown away because they couldn't sell it fast enough. And so he was taking it. Well, it was too much for him. And so he tried to share it with other pantries and other places. And so he was having a hard time getting rid of it. And so he called me one day randomly and said, I have a truckload of bread that I need to bring somewhere. Can I bring it to you? And even though we feed 6 days a week, a truckload of bread is a lot of bread, right? It's a lot of bread. So I said yes, and we took it, and we just put that picture or one similar to it. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you see this often, I think. We just put it on Facebook, and we said, hey, there's free bread at the church. Come from this time to this time. And the bread brings all sorts of people through our doors. It brings people in who don't go to church anywhere. It brings people in who go to other churches, and then we have little conversations with them, and we find out ways that we can partner, ways we can work together. People see our faces. They get a name behind the face, or a face behind the name. They pop back in from time to time, and sometimes they stay, and they become a vital part of the team. And the neighborhood kids, they run all around the neighborhood with the long baguettes. I don't know if you can see them in the center of the picture there. They use them as weapons, so they have sword fights in the front yard of the church with the baguettes, which is always fun. And then the recovery community, who holds NA meetings and AA meetings in our church, they refer to it as the bread church. And so they were like, I have to go to the meeting at the bread church at 6 o'clock. which is better than what some they could call us. So several community leaders are aware that we usually have bread, and they will refer people to us if they need food, or sometimes they just stop by and visit with us while we're handing it out. And this has led to the kind of networking where we can connect people with resources and even jobs. The bread is the easiest ministry that I do. I don't have to think about it at all. I don't have to study for it. I didn't have to go to school to learn anything to do it. I don't have to. It doesn't cost me anything. I don't have to advertise it much or promote it. I just have to show up, set up some tables, and wait. But it's a powerful ministry, and it leads people to walk into our doors, and it helps me meet people and pray with people and connect people to other people who can help them. And sometimes that results in people coming to church, falling in love with Jesus, and becoming a part of the kingdom. God was able to make something as simple as bread and use it to multiply his kingdom. And there's another story about bread and multiplication in the Bible. It's a story that you are probably very familiar with. You've heard it taught a million times, I'm sure. And in it, there are crowds of people who are gathered to hear Jesus speaking because he's such a phenomenal teacher. And when you're in the presence of Jesus, you don't want to leave, right? You know, so they'll sit there all day and just listen to Jesus teach, but it's getting late. And the disciples are starting to worry because there's a crowd of people and they haven't eaten. And people tend to get hangry when they haven't eaten. So they're, but the crowds don't want to leave. They're still leaning into what Jesus is doing there. And so you've heard it taught before, I know. And I know that you've heard it taught as a story about God's provision, and it is. Our God is a powerful God. He's a giving God, and he is able to provide and meet our needs. But it's also a story of multiplication. God wants to use what is already here in this church and multiply it over and over and over again until his love and his goodness spreads out all over Elkview and all over the community to every man and woman and child. Would it be all right with you if God used this church to multiply his kingdom? Because I feel pretty certain that is exactly what he wants to do. But there are a few things that you need to be ready to do if you were going to partner with God in that mission. So let's look at our text. It's Luke 9, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 17. It says, "Late in the day, the 12 approached him and said to him, 'Send the crowd away so that they can go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find food and lodging, because we are in a deserted place here. You give them something to eat,' he told them. 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish,' they said, 'unless we go and buy food for all these people,' for about 5,000 men were there. Then he told his disciples, 'Have them sit down in groups of 50 each.' They did what he said, and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Everyone ate and was filled. They picked up 12 baskets of leftover pieces." The first thing that we have to do if we're going to partner with God is overcome fear and be willing to take risks. Even if that thing that God is laying before you seems impractical or impossible, the bread, you know, a truckload of bread is a lot of bread. And there was a chance that I was going to get stuck with all of this bread, and the dumpster behind my church was going to be filled with moldy bread. And if he had called me and said, "I have a truckload of bread that I need to get rid of," and I had said exactly what most other people say to him, which is, "I can take a little bit of bread, but I don't want all of that bread," we never would have made this connection. But I was willing to let down by fear and just see what God was doing there. Fear keeps us a lot from stepping into what God has for us. Fear of failure. But the issue is that we focus on the problem. We don't focus on the power that we have in Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." The spirit of fear is not from the Lord. It is from the enemy of our souls, because he is also the enemy of the church, right? He will use that spirit of fear to keep us from walking in what God has called us to do, both in our individual lives and as a church. The spirit of fear tells us that we can't do ministry in this way, or we can't do the ministry that God is calling us to because we don't have enough people, or we don't have a fancy enough building, or we don't have enough money. We aren't as fancy as the church down the street, or have as big programs or as many things to offer. We can't feed that crowd, Jesus, because we don't have enough. Send them home, Jesus, so they can get something to eat. That's what the disciples said. And Jesus said, you feed them. You don't have to have that spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And you know what drives away fear? It's love, right? 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love drives out fear. Our love for the broken and the lost and the hurting and the hungry, that's what will overcome our fear of what we can't do for the kingdom. Fear will keep us focused on all the places where we fall short. Love helps us stay focused on the need. And how our all-powerful God can take whatever meager offering I have and use it to meet needs. If you truly love the people in Elkview, if you truly want to see them surrender their lives to Jesus and turn their lives around, you lay aside fear of change. Shake off that fear of failing. You will not be afraid of not measuring up to the bigger churches or failing because you don't have enough money or enough people. All the things that keep us from doing something, all the excuses of why we don't do things, because we do it too. You will say, this is scary and uncomfortable, what God's asking us to do. But my love for my neighbor is bigger than my fear, so I'm going to do it anyway. The second thing that has to happen is obedience. You have to be willing to step out in faith and say yes to what God is calling you to do. There is a difference between addition and multiplication. Jesus didn't add to the bread, right? He multiplied it. He made it stretch farther. He didn't say, bring me your 5 loaves and I'll make 500 more. He took what they had and he kept multiplying it, and it went farther and farther. When I imagine this in my mind, I think of Jesus breaking the loaf, and it just keeps breaking. It just keeps growing and growing. He didn't need their 5 loaves, though. Right? He didn't need that. He created everything from nothing. He could have just produced enough bread to feed everyone in that moment, but that's not how he chose to do it. He wanted them to give what they had, even though it was little, so he could multiply it. And that's exactly what church is too, right? God could just call up who he wanted to heaven right now, but he chooses to use us. He chooses to partner with us to reach people, to get people to surrender. There's multiplication of what is already there. We have this idea that we're winning in the church world when we add to the number of people who are sitting here in this room on Sunday morning. And it's a scramble for every church in your community and my community to just collect as many people as we can, right? As many people and as many resources as we can. And so we're going to try to have the best preaching and the best singing and the best children's programs and whatever else it is. And hopefully people will come here and then they'll stay here and they won't get pulled away by the next big flashy thing. And then it's no longer fishing for men, right? It's just moving fish from one pond to another. We're not going out after the lost. We're just trying to attract church people. But Jesus doesn't want addition. He wants multiplication. He doesn't want us to just keep dumping more fish into our pond. He wants us to send them out to go get more fish. And he wants whatever you have. He wants to take it and multiply it. It doesn't matter how many people sit in this church on Sunday morning. Your church can have a huge impact on this community. Even if those people never show up on Sunday morning, you can still make disciples at your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, in the grocery store, wherever you go. But you know what usually happens, and what I have seen, is when the people of a church start going out and making disciples, that number in here starts to grow too, just naturally. It's not our intention. We're not worried about who is in here. But as we go out and we make disciples, this God starts to bless this, and this starts to grow too. So because people want to be part of a movement, right? People want to be where God is moving. So it requires obedience to trust God and trust that he is the one who is actually doing it. Jesus didn't expect the disciples to multiply the bread. He expected them to give the bread, and he multiplied it. The third thing is we have to have a spirit of generosity. Because I can trust that God is going to provide, but once he has provided something, my attitude is, he provided it, it's mine, I'm going to hang on to it so I don't lose it, right? That's what the flesh says. And what if we had stored up all that bread in our kitchen at the church and not handed it out because we thought we might not have enough, right? We want to hold on to it so we have enough. What would happen is we would have a kitchen full of moldy bread. And all the ways that God used that bread to create special moments and new relationships never would have happened. I'm afraid there are a lot of churches with kitchens full of moldy bread. There are a lot of churches who are sitting on their resources and their gifted leaders and their facilities because they want to guard them. Jesus said, pour it out. Give it up. Let me take it and multiply it. The disciples ended up with 12 baskets of leftovers. There was an overflow. There was more than enough. A basket for each of them to reflect on how Jesus didn't just provide enough, he provided more than enough. When we operate from a spirit of generosity, there is always more than enough. You can't outgive God, right? It didn't make sense to sit a crowd of 5,000 people down with 5 loaves of bread. I imagine that they felt pretty nervous. But a lot of things that we do in our church don't make sense either. I am not a church multiplication expert. There are people who really, that is their thing, like church multiplication. For every right move I have made, I've made like 10 major mistakes that I had to learn from. But in spite of that, in spite of me, God is still using my local church to multiply disciples, to multiply leaders, to spread out into new communities and share the gospel. And the reason he's able to do that is when opportunities pop up, we meet the challenge by putting down our fear and walking in obedience and just being generous with whatever little we do have to give. It didn't make sense for us to plant a church. When we planted our 14th Street Church, it didn't make any sense at all. We had maybe 35, 40 people coming on a Sunday morning, broke, couldn't pay a pastor a full-time salary, zero money. The building is a nightmare. the building that we got had no parking lot. It's in the middle of the ghetto of Parkersburg. It needed a complete overhaul of all the electrical wiring. And once a year, it smells like death because the back of the building would fill up with bird nests and eggs, and they would get washed out, and the whole thing was a bad deal, right? But I knew that God was calling us there. I knew that he was, and the doors just kept opening, and the opportunity was there, and all of the reasons that I should have said no were there too, but we walked in faith, and God paved the way, and 7 years later, we now have 3 campuses. We have possessions of 2 other buildings that we're going to start using for ministry in other towns. We have 10 people who take turns preaching in all of those places. And there was a time when it was 2 sermons a week and a Bible study, and it was just me and Jesus. Like, so to have 10 people to fill out a schedule and leaders who insist that I take a Sunday off every now and then, and just a team like that, is amazing. God has been good to me. Very good to me. Has he been good to you? I figured that he had. He loves us enough that he came to live and die for us. He knew that the debt of sin was too big for us to pay. So he came and he paid it for us. He willingly laid down his life for us so that we could live with him forever. That's love. But he doesn't stop there. That's the amazing part. He has something for us in this life, too. Not just for the next life. He resurrected. In his resurrection, defeated death and sin for all time. He gives us the power to turn from sin and to walk in his holiness, and he fills us with his Spirit so he can grow the kingdom. You don't get to just be his child. You don't get to just be his friend. You get to be those things, but you also get to partner with him. I think that's so cool. He wants to use me, and he wants to use you, and he wants to use this church to reach other people. And I don't know what he has in store for Three Mile Wesleyan or for the community of Elkview, but I know it's good things because he's a good father, right? This morning, are they going to close in another song? In a minute, Matt. Yep. Okay, and just a few, we're going to close in a song. While we're praying and worshiping, spend some time reflecting on how God wants to use you. You personally and also your church. Where does he have you personally already placed? What circles are you moving in already where you can begin to make disciples? What needs are there in this community around you that you can meet either individually or as a church? And it doesn't have to be a financial thing or a material thing. You may not have a random friend who calls you with a truckload of bread, and that's okay. Maybe you have senior citizens who are lonely and need a visit. Maybe there are single moms who are struggling to find somebody for those after school hours. Maybe there are recovering addicts in this community who don't have a place to hold their meeting. I don't know what God is calling you to, but I know that he's calling you to something. So overcome any fear that says we can't do this, we don't have enough. Walk in obedience to whatever he called you to do, even if it's hard, even if it seems impractical. And be generous with the gifts that you have and the time that you have and the money that you have and the talents that you have. And God will take those things and he will multiply them and multiply his kingdom right here in your community. And always, if anyone is here this morning or anybody watching this morning and you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, today is the day because he wants to use you too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who multiplies, that you are a God who chooses to partner with us. Lord, you could have set this up any way that you wanted to, but you chose to work through broken people like us, Lord, so that you are the one that always gets the glory. We thank you for our salvation, but we thank you also that you have so much more for us in this life, that you want to fill us with your Spirit and use us to grow your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray for the people of Three Mile Wesleyan. I pray for this church and this community, Lord, that you would just bless what they give, Lord. Whatever they are willing to sow into the kingdom, that you would just multiply it in ways that only you can. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.